And we're live.
So I have a special guest today. I've been waiting to do a podcast with my mom for so long, and she's been resisting. So I haven't done another podcast until I got an opportunity to talk to her. So mom, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everyone.
She's so nervous. She's funny, but I don't even know why she's nervous. So we don't really have a game plan for this podcast, so we're just going to wing it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the world. There's a lot of stuff going on in a lot of people's lives, and I'm sure someone will be able to relate to it. So, first of all, Mom, tell people a little bit about yourself. Come on!
What do you want me to tell?
I don't know, like, where you grew up?
I grew up on Long Island, single mom, 7 brothers and sisters, moved to California when I was 18. Have 3 children, and I drove for a living.
Yeah.
And I took the transition to move to out in Eastern Washington so I can live off the grid. That's what I'm doing now.
Yeah, let's go into that a little bit. So, like, you got the property.
Yep.
You know, you were looking for a while for something that would fit, like, what you're looking for. So, like, kind of go into your mindset of, like, wanting to move away from the city. Because, like, I know you, Long Island and then California and then Washington. But we lived in, you know, populated areas for a long time. So, like, what made you?
For me, my transition was when my mom died.
Yeah.
I felt like she never got to follow and do anything, her dreams. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't going to wait that long. So when you guys got grown and moved out, I was like, come on, my brother who bought the property with me, I was like, your wife's passed away, man, let's just do this. And we planned for like 2 years and we did it.
Nice. So how is the transition going from like having, you know, access to everything to like move into a property like this?
It doesn't bother me. I mean, it took a minute to get used to the slow pace of, you know, the people around me. You know, they take their time, but it took 2 years, about a year and a half, to really get used to things not happening at a, you know, right now, you know, everyone's a now. It's not out like that here.
Right. Yeah.
But you have a lot of good people that live in the rural areas. That's the difference.
That is true. Like, people don't lock their doors.
No.
Yeah, it's like living in the 50s.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, people don't lock their doors out here.
So, like, people don't know this, but, like, you lived in a tent.
Yes.
For, like...
When I moved out here, I lived in a tent while I was building, like, a small tiny house or shed.
Right.
Except my she shed, actually. And it was probably about 9 months.
She shed.
For 9 months, I lived in, until winter. It was right before a hard winter came, I was able to live inside of an actual building. But I took showers outside. It was pretty cool, though. I learned a lot about myself.
Right.
You know, I got chickens. First thing I got was, my chickens had the first thing I built. My chicken coop was the first thing I built.
Right, yeah.
And, yeah, you can really become powerful when you can do that. Live outside, live literally tent camping for that long period of time. And, you know, Manu has his RV, but I didn't want to take a shower in there. So I made me like an outside shower, and I'd heat the water on top, and I'd use the shower every night.
That's awesome. Like, I don't think... There's black people don't do this kind of stuff.
You know, a lot of my friends said that. Oh, Tracy, you should do YouTube. Man, you'd be rich. But that wasn't why I did it.
Right.
So I didn't want to share that. I didn't want to... Honestly, I didn't want to share it with anyone for financial gain.
Right, that makes sense.
I wanted to do it if someone wanted to get the experience and learn. Because I learned on the fly. I learned as I went. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know things now that I didn't know then. That I could actually help someone.
That makes
sense. Know what I mean? So I didn't want to do it for money.
That makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of things people do these days that are all financially driven.
Yeah, and that's never been me anyway.
Right.
But this was something that was special. this was special to me, and I wanted it to be, you know, mine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was something I always wanted to do, and I wanted it to be mine. I didn't want to share it like that.
Right, that makes sense. So you go from the she shed, and now you have the cabin.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I lived in the she shed for a year almost. Well, no. I got this done pretty fast. Probably about 5 months to get it done. But it was a whole summer. Because right. I didn't move in right. I moved in right before winter. And it's still not finished 100%. There's still things, you know, I'm still building the mudroom. I still have little, like, trim to do. But it's finished enough. You know, all my main stuff is done. It's just like the fine tuning needs to be finished. But I have time to do it because it's mine and I'm on my own schedule.
That is a benefit of living in a place like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, the cost of living is pretty cheap. You know, everything you get from the grocery store is pretty fresh because they don't mm-hmm. have a lot of stuff shipped in like other places.
Yeah, everything's right here.
You know, and there's a lot of orchards and fruit places mm-hmm. around here.
Well, you get it fresh right off the tree. Literally, you go buy fruit, it was just picked.
Right.
You know, yeah. Or you could pick it yourself.
So, like, if someone was going to, like, do this, they're like, man, I'm tired of the city, I'm tired of the hustle and bustle, you know, I'm tired of the rat race. Mm-hmm. Like, what advice would you give someone that wants
I would say, do what I did, plan. Take time to, you know, scope out what you want from it. There was a few things I had to have. Mm-hmm. I had to have a road already on, because you don't want to have to pay to cut a road. That's extremely high. So you want access to a main road. Even though it's a dirt road, it's there.
Right.
And I can get to the main road. And you want to know that you have water available. So you need to have someone to come out, do a survey to make sure you have water on the property before you buy it.
Right.
Because every place doesn't have water. And that those are and save money.
Right.
Save money, plan for the most important thing is water. Water and shelter. So you can live in a tent. I've done it. But you need to make sure you have enough assets put away so you can start building right away. That's what plan ahead and save. And get whatever you can while you're working mm-hmm. full-time and you got a full-time job. Because if you move up the grid, you might still be able to work. But most likely you won't work the wage that you were getting. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to, you know, you have to be smart with your money. Which I'm not, but I always get what I need.
Right.
That yeah. makes
sense. So, like, what's your end goal for here? I mean, you got a lot of animals. You got chickens. You know, got some goats. Got a sheep.
My end goal is to be able to live, make money from the land, make money from my animals. Which by next year, I plan to. All my chickens should be enough. Everyone be laying. I could probably get 4 dozen a day, and sell it at the fairs during the summertime, mm-hmm. or sell it to grocery stores, like at the end of the week. Take them all in, mm-hmm. and then I plan on making, you know, cheeses from the goat milk.
Yeah, that's a hot commodity.
Yeah, that is a very hot commodity. I didn't know that until I was talking, you know, hot. It's very, especially at the small mom and pop stores. Mm-hmm. They're all around here. As long as I can. Process it properly and get it, you know, a state seal saying that, you know, it's been done the right way, which mm-hmm. you can get those easy. It's just a food handlers.
Right.
And then you can sell it. I would personally rather sell it to individual people because then I have my own clientele.
There you go.
But you still can sell to small stores. Yeah. You know, have the land pay for itself. Pay for, you know, what... Take care of the animals and my financial needs. That's my goal. And to sell sheep's hair when she becomes an adult and produce more sheep. I have to have more. But right. I would like to sell her hair. Have someone come out, they'll buy it by the pound.
Right.
So
like a lot of people, I guess, don't know your personal views and stuff like that. But like, how was it like raising 3 kids?
It was a struggle.
Yeah.
It was a struggle raising 3 men, you know, young boys to become men. It was a struggle. And, you know, everyone as a young adult state, you know, you guys never gave me really problems because I'd beat that ass. Oops, I'd whoop the children.
You can say ass. It's a podcast.
Okay, I whoop that, you know what. And it wasn't, I mean, it was hard, but not really. It was more of a worry. You worried. You worry about young men. You worry about what they're doing. What's, if, are they going to come home? Which everyone don't have that worry. But mm-hmm. being a mother of black children, you have that worry.
Yeah. You know? I mean, we've been in some tight spots, mm-hmm. you know, as kids. You know, some of the areas we grew up in.
Which I didn't think was bad, but obviously there were.
Yeah, I mean, I think anywhere you can find yourself, you can find trouble. You know, and, you know, we were just fortunate enough to not get in too much trouble. You know, we've had run-ins with, like, racial issues.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
stuff like that, but nothing too crazy. You know, like, I remember, you know, because when we moved out to Las Coches out in mm-hmm. Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, that was.
And we were directly in skinhead territory and had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, we'll walk into the bus, you know, and get the peckerwood whistle and getting chased by fucking grown-ass white dudes, and that was just wild. But, you know, we got through it.
Yeah. Yeah, no matter where you go, you'll run into something. It's either a white person giving you issues or some black gang member giving you issues. Mm-hmm. You'll find it. It'll find you if it wants to.
Yeah.
But it's about not allowing it to control you.
That's one thing I feel like people don't talk about enough mm-hmm. is, like, everyone says black on black crime. But no one ever talks about the pressures from your own race.
Yeah, there's a lot of young people are. I mean, no matter what your race is,
right? Exactly, white, black, yeah, Hispanic, whatever.
It's your pressure to be involved or get engaged in trouble that you know could ruin your life. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, if you have a half parent at home, that won't happen because they should be more afraid of you than them.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about it.
So what kind of advice, because there's a lot of young women these days that are, like, raising kids by themselves, you know, single moms that, you know, they thought they had someone good, and then the baby daddy leave, or just be a piece of shit, and then take off and get another girl pregnant, or cheating. I mean, what would you tell these girls that are looking at, you know, their young kid now, or they're pregnant now, and they're like, I don't know what the fuck to do, you know, they're at a loss.
Naturally, you love your child, but most importantly, spare the rod and spoil the child. Your yes mean yes and your no mean no, period.
Yeah.
They're not your friend.
That's true.
Bobby's not your friend. I'm your parent. And don't, I'm telling you, give them one good whooping, they'll know. don't be afraid to embarrass them either.
That's true.
It'll teach them humility.
A lot of people don't believe in whooping their kids these days.
They done lost their mind. That's why they're killing them. That's why you find most children that have killed or stabbed their parents, it was because their parents never disciplined them.
Yeah.
Look at the statistics. And most of the time, those are people of white people that kill their parents. You think a black person it happens. But statistically, not that often. Because they know, if I heard how grandma gonna come cut me too thin to fry.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah, no.
That is a different dynamic. When you really think about it, when you break it down.
That, like, is cultural.
Okay. If guns were the problem, and let's say just school shootings, mm-hmm. right? There's not very many African American schools that are shooting. You hear about Parkland and Sandy Hook and Columbine.
They were all wealthy.
Why? Decent,
why?
White,
why? Because they are told they do no wrong. Yeah. Honestly, let's just be real. White people tell their kids, oh no, it's okay to feel that way. No, it's not okay to feel that way. That's the problem. You tell them, boy, have you lost your mind? You're not supposed to be wanting to kill your neighbor. We need to talk to somebody. You don't tell them, oh, it's your emotions. No, that's why.
Yeah.
Look at the statistics. You have yet to see a poor school I don't care if it's white, black, green, or orange, but if it's in a low-income neighborhood, mm-hmm. you don't see that because those kids are disciplined. Those kids are told, you're going to do this, whatever's going to happen, you're going to pay the consequences. They know there's consequences.
I mean, they're probably like bad kids, like messing around, like pranking absolutely. And whatever.
Absolutely. But, that's every child. Right. That's every school. But I'm talking about violence. Mm-hmm. You're going home thinking dark thoughts. And you, your parents, I don't care who it is, it's a lie if you did not know the signs of your child. Because you know the signs of your child from infancy. You know, when you see your child, when they're doing certain tendencies, you know that they have a potential to be a rapist. Or they have the potential to kill someone. You know that from an early, I don't know, I'm a witness to it.
Right.
I drove school bus for a long time, and I seen those kids at an early age, and I was
you're
dead
like,
on.
Look at that little fucking, you're like, man, that guy's gonna fucking shank somebody and put him in a freezer.
That's the point. That's the honest God truth. And parents, they can say whatever they want. They can cuss me out. But the truth is the truth. If they really honest with themselves, if they thought about it prior to something happening, did you see it? I cannot. The only ones that I can honestly say that they don't have signs of is when children commit suicide.
Yeah.
But when there's violent crimes, that you don't just become violent. That's something that's ingrained. You've seen it was in you.
Right.
No one just wants to kill people. You do that because it's inside you. You feel that inside you. It was a desire that they had that they could not put out. Mm-hmm. It was a small flame and they could not extinguish it. So it overwhelmed them. That's what happened, and that's the truth. No one wants to say that. No one would say it out loud. Because they have to take responsibility. Yeah. Or they have to say, you know what? I should have did something then.
Mm-hmm. That's a problem. I feel like accountability's out the window in this day and age.
No, because if you have to be accountable, then you have to say you're wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I say I'm wrong all the time.
I don't.
Of course you
don't. Because I don't be wrong, no. You know what? I speak my mind and I tell the truth.
Yeah. You're very, very open and vocal about the way you feel and how you feel about things, but at least you're being honest, right? I feel like these days, like, we've lost that ability to communicate with each other.
Well, you know, like, for instance, you do a project. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you that project was good or it looked nice. That is ugly. Start over again. That's the truth. That's why you walked out with straight A's.
Right, right.
Like, oh, no. That's the problem. Oh, that's beautiful. No, it's not. You need to go back and trash that and let's do it all over again. Let me show you how to do it. Or let me help you how to do it. But that's not leaving this house.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. People don't do that. They're too busy trying to make them feel better or say, and oversensitive. Mm-hmm. I can't stand that.
Well, you don't think that...
No!
You don't... Wait, no. Listen to the question. You don't think that, people weren't sensitive enough, though, back in the day? Like, there was... I mean, when you really...
Well...
When you think about it, like, put it to perspective. Like,
I could say,
like,
yeah.
Like, men. Like, people talk about how men can't change tires and men can't fix things these days. Mm-hmm. But, like, these men have a different capacity for, like, love. And a different capacity for understanding.
But there was less adultery. Marriage lasts 67 years.
Yeah.
No. Men now are cowards. Come on.
Right.
The majority of time they're cowards. They punk out when it's time for them to stand up and be a man. Mm-hmm. Which most of the time you have far and few between. We're talking about the younger generation. I'm talking about from 30 and younger.
Right.
The ones that's older and mature, they're more adept to take on the responsibility. But look how many men that's running around that don't take care of their children, aren't responsible to their parent. I mean, your mother raised you all these years, and then you send your mom to a dirty old nursing home. I'm sorry, I got a problem with that.
Right.
My mom was not going to a nursing home. Even though she was mean as snake on a spit on a snake, I wouldn't have let her go to no nursing home.
Right.
So that's the difference.
Is that a culture thing? Or is that...
It's a culture thing because there don't be no black people in nursing homes. I deliver gas to them. I've never... And I, Kirkland, Bellevue.
There's not a whole lot of black people up north in Washington.
I'm just saying. There was a lot of white people. And the nursing homes are awful. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean,
I couldn't do it.
I don't think I could let you go to a nursing home.
You know, I'm going to die right on this mountain. Ain't no one going to let me go nowhere. I'm not going nowhere. So,
bury y'all back.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Cremate me in a pit and just sprinkle my ashes.
How do you feel about, like, death? I mean, I know that's... We never really even talked about that personally. Like, you know me. I've had a problem. I've lost a lot of people in my life. And it hits you different. Now, like, death hits me. It still hits me, but it's just... I don't even know how to explain it. It still hurts, but it's
depends on the importance of the relationship. That's what really determines how you feel about death. Death really, I mean, we all born. Death is not natural. We weren't designed to die. But it really depends on the relationship you have with the person, how you deal with. Because I know people who've passed away, and if I honestly wasn't close to them, I was sad for them. But if someone's close to you, of course, you it's more of an emotional thing. Even right. though they were older and you knew, but still, death is death. You know, it just really depends how close you are to that person.
It's crazy how fragile life really is.
Yeah.
One choice. You can live 50 years, but you're like out driving and you drop your phone and you decide to pick up your phone and you look up, you're in the back of a semi.
Yep.
You know, or, you know, you jump off that cliff, but you jump off 10 times off that cliff into the water. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you slip and then you hit your head and you're done that one time.
I just want to know why the hell you jumping off a cliff. That's the question.
It's just fun. If you ain't never been cliff jumping.
Nope.
White friends are nice to have sometimes. They a lot of
they're
shit.
The ones jump out good planes.
You wouldn't go skydiving?
No.
Why? I would go skydiving.
You go right ahead.
That was one of my goals to lose weight. Mm-hmm. Was so I can go skydiving.
Well, you go right ahead. I'm not jumping out of a perfectly good plane. I'm sorry. And have nothing pop out on my back. I don't think so. Nope. Not going
to
happen.
So what's the closest to extreme sport like that you would get? You wouldn't do nothing like...
Fishing? That's extreme.
Fishing ain't no damn extreme sport.
Kayaking?
Yeah, kayaking.
I would kayak. Yeah. I love kayaking. So... But, you know, I take precautions, but, a life jacket, but that's about as extreme as I'm getting.
That's fair. Okay, we got to give the people a little bit about the recent politics, like, things that have been happening. Like, you're so funny when you talk about politics. How do you feel about Donald Trump?
I think he's retarded. I think he's...
You can't say retarded.
I think he's dementia. He's suffering from dementia. I do believe he's mentally challenged. In the sense of that he might not have been, you know, when he was younger. But I believe, and it's probably going to come out sometime in the future, mm-hmm. that he either has dementia or Alzheimer's and someone's coaching him. Because just the stuff that comes in his mouth is something a 7-year-old would say.
He's kind of a loose cannon. But I just, you know what, this is like one thing that I can't get over. I just feel like there's a lot of people trying to set him up for shit too, though. Because he's not a politician, you know
honestly,
what I mean?
Honestly, it doesn't really matter because, as far as I'm concerned, man will never be able to fix this. No one will be able to fix this,
right.
You know. But, I mean, they're put in place for a reason. You know, we need a government to function. So... You know, God allows them to be put in place.
Right.
But honestly, I do believe that something is wrong with him. I'm not saying, trying to be mean mm-hmm. or anything, but that's not normal behavior for an adult. I'm just saying a grown man
right.
saying, what'd he say? Punch that man in the face. Who says that? In the audience, you
and
know.
To be the president of the United States, that's why.
That's not, no. Just being an adult, you wouldn't encourage fighting.
Right.
In an audience of that many people. That's not normal. And the fact that he won is amazing because that you heard him say that. People heard him say that. So what's that say about the people that were listening?
Right.
I mean,
I really think a lot of people don't. People fake the funk. I think a lot of people fake the funk. Like, we, as a society today, I feel like more people surround themselves around negativity. Mm-hmm. They surround themselves around toxic people.
That's the world we live in, though.
But everyone's like, oh, they're toxic. I don't need that in my life. And then 2 days later, they're back friends with them.
Well, you know,
or there's so many snakes in the grass. Emoji this, emoji that.
But when you think about it, that's the world we live in. You can't expect that. You can't expect anything less than man to turn on man.
Yeah.
For humans to forsake their loved ones. I mean, it was written a long time ago. And it's happening.
It's people, fucked up.
Think about it. Look how many homeless older people. How can you let your mother or your father, 67, 80 years old, homeless on the street? That's not, I don't care what they did. I will go clean them up and bring them home.
Right.
There's no way.
I think it's just it's generational, you know. We got a bad.
The love has cooled.
We have a bad hand of cards dealt to us.
No.
In my age group, I mean, when you really think about income disparity, like the fact that we really there hasn't been what do they call it, like a cost of living increase. Compared to the how much inflation has gone up.
No,
you
know what I mean? They said it's been like 20 years when, for 15 years, I think I heard in the news, since it's the raise have matched the cost of living.
Right. Because I was in corporate, you know, you get 2.5% every year or whatever it was. Or, you know, you do well, you might get 4%.
But they base that on the overall, the minimum wage. That's based on the minimum wage.
But it's like, you can't even buy a crack house these days. Like, there's doing me wrong. Well, a lot of my friends are you know, buying houses. They're doing well.
Yeah, but they're going to have to work themselves to death to pay for it.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, mine's paid for. I don't have to, and I own a lot of property. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, I can do what I want here, and I am not drowning in debt. So even if I had to work, I don't have to work. I have to work enough to feed my animals. Feed myself, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What's the point of working if you never home?
That was my thing. I mean, I was on the road constantly.
Or you can't sit and enjoy a cup of tea because you got to go to work.
I think we are programmed for that, though. Kids my age, people my age, we don't know any different because we've been programmed in school. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why they don't teach you about finances. They don't teach you about credit. They don't teach you about bank accounts and all that stuff because they want you just to be in the system. You know, they're preparing you to go to college to get you in debt.
Right, right.
Then you get out of college and hopefully you got a career that is going to help you pay off your student loans and then help you, you know, get an apartment or whatever. But when you think about, you know, back in your time, in your 20s, you know, you could work a job, you know, before you had kids, right?
Right.
And be able to support yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you didn't have to be an engineer or a biologist or a professor or a doctor or anything like that to get by. You know, I remember talking to a lot of old school guys in the parts industry. Mm-hmm. You know, being a parts guy used to be a pretty damn good job.
Yeah.
You know, they used to be able to sit behind that counter, bullshit on bar stools, sell to the shop, sell to the people coming in, and they did all
right. Right.
You know, but as time went on.
No. What happened was technology changed the thinking. Because instead of having that blue collar job that you get paid $80,000 a year as a plumber or as a truck driver, you can make $160,000 a year. They demonized those jobs. Yeah. Technology demonized, because I made good money driving.
Right.
But they made it like it's taboo. You have to be behind a computer or doing something, either doctor, lawyer. I know truck drivers that make more money than doctors.
That's true. And because doctors have overhead. That's what a lot of people
don't know. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And electrician. Most electricians make $80 an hour.
Yeah, some do.
So I'm talking blue collar jobs that are amazingly wages.
Being a trash guy.
Thank trash you. Man. A trash guy makes more money. But
than,
the whole
than
point
a teacher
is,
does.
Though, yes, they do.
Yeah.
They demonized what it was to have the traditional blue collar job. You had to go to college. Now they want everyone has to go to college. There's no why. When you could go do what your dad did or your mom did and make a better wage without all the debt. That's why the industry's dying. They're trying to get new. That's what now they have what they call the internships for electricians, mm-hmm. plumbers. Because no one wants to do it. Apprenticeships. Because no one wants to do it.
That is sad. You know, when you really think about it.
Without them, what are you going to do?
Right.
Plumbing ain't
going to
happen.
You're not going to be able to sip your Starbucks on your iPhone and take a shit in a normal toilet if there's no more plumbers.
Thank you.
You know, but I think there's always going to be people in those jobs. It's just becoming so scarce.
Well,
that it's driving up
the
cost
generation. The older generation is leaving that field, and young people aren't taking it. If someone looks it up, mm-hmm. people aren't taking those jobs anymore.
Yeah.
Far and few between, unless it's like a dad leaving it to a son. The father's business.
Right.
I had to get some water.
That is a wild concept to think that. But, you know, automation is coming.
Automation can't do those jobs.
And I understand they can't. But what I'm still trying to put together is there is a lot of jobs that could be replaced with technology. Oh. Now, there's a lot of people. The demand for artificial intelligence programming is insane right now. And they're taking guys without college degrees. If you can do like these online courses, it costs you $200 or whatever, and mm-hmm. get your little certificate in like artificial intelligence programming, and you can go get $90,000 a year. And I think that's why a lot of people are going that route, like coding. You know, you learn to code on Python or C++ or mm-hmm. JavaScript, and you're making apps. And
but
stuff
here's
like
the
that.
Thing: those jobs are replaced. You can be replaced by computers on that.
Right.
That's a replaceable, that's a job that can be automated. Or a program that can fix it anyway. That can
eventually
run it.
Someone's going to create AI that's going to create AI. You know what I mean? That,
but
I mean, that sounds
you
stupid,
can never, secular jobs can never be replaced with automation. A computer ain't going to come in here and do your plumbing. A computer's not going to do your electrician. A computer, well, they might have driving, but I doubt they'll ever have a computer driver semi.
I
don't
think
see it
differently.
I don't see it at
Musk. I fucking love Elon Musk. That he is,
I don't know who he is, but
he's bright. And I think taxi cabs are going to end up being Ubers. Aren't going to have people in them eventually.
I think
in your lifetime. That you're going to see or
if they have tracks
see.
On the road.
No. It's so good. The technology is so good. Mm-mm. They're already planning to drive from Los Angeles to New York autonomously.
Someone's going to be in the car, though.
Yeah,
someone
to test. No. They're going to go from somewhere in L.A. and it's going to stop. You might have to get out to charge it.
So then it can't be autonomously.
Not for a cross-country trip, Mom.
Who's going to charge
you? Eventually, okay, they're going to have maybe a lot of tenant, but think about this, a taxi company to where they get dispatched electronically out of a garage, boom, go pick you up. They're done with that run, they come back to the garage, someone plugs it in until it's ready to go out. And it's like an assembly line of automation. Domino's is testing autonomous, there was no one in the car when it delivered to this guy. Now, it was in a nice, rich neighborhood.
How did it get the pizza to the door?
It didn't get... He had to walk out his door, and he saw the car coming. He typed in his little code that he mm-hmm. got from ordering his pizza or whatever. Mm-hmm. The window rolled down, and the little oven in the back seat opened up and popped his pizza out.
Oh.
And there was not one person in the car.
I have to see that to believe it.
And then the Tesla semis...
I don't believe
can,
it.
Can you? But think about the power. Even
I would not want to be on a road with an unmanned semi.
Because I mean, that there's legality to that. I mean,
and then think about what
if
someone
hacked it.
What if, no, what if the satellites go down? That's why farmers, they have those tractors that based on GPS,
right.
And the satellite went straight through his driveway. It just kept going. It went, and that's, it was a talk show. And he said he would never want to use unmanned trucks on the road. Because if satellites go down, mm-hmm. that tractor went straight through his driveway, straight through his garage, mm-hmm. and kept going. These tractors are huge.
I think they're going to perfect. I mean, the military has a different level of technology that's pretty much unbreakable. There's different classes of technology. There's consumer technology. There's industrial technology. And then there's government level military grade technology.
Their technology is not that good because they're still getting blown up.
I mean, that there is something to that.
Come on, how good is their technology and you can't detect a man-made bomb on the road? Come on. Technology ain't that good.
Well, yeah. I mean, issued in the field right now, I would say there's a lot in the works that... But let's even get off that subject, because they're trying to pull people out of being... Foot on the ground is not going to be a thing. I truly believe in my... Maybe not your lifetime, but in my lifetime, mm-hmm. I think there's going to be, like... You remember Star Wars and the droids?
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that there's going to be people controlling robots. And it's almost going to be like a game. War, I think war...
Well, sort of like drones, but on the ground.
But
I see that. I see that possible. Because they have robots that go dismantle bombs. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I mean, I mean that's feasible now. It's just the cost is probably outrageous. Yeah.
Outrageous. I mean, when you really think about how much money we spend in defense and how much money we spend on just everything else. Like, I understand that we're a superpower as America.
Are we?
Exactly. That's my thing, is because now cyber is a whole new warfare that people aren't even looking at. People, like, if you can get into a U.S., you know how I would do it? If I was a country trying to bring down America, I would get into a power grid. I'd shut down L.A. I'd shut down New York. I'd shut down Dallas. You know, I'd shut
all
down...
All the major cities. Major hubs.
Because people would go fucking nuts and kill each other. Look what happens when... You know what I mean? Think about it. Really think about it.
My iPhone don't work.
Yeah. Facebook goes down for a couple hours. People are fucking flying off the handle. The country would literally implode on itself. You know, what if someone hacked into the internet and shut down card readers?
Yeah.
Couldn't go to an ATM to get your money. Couldn't swipe your card. How many people have a stash of cash to survive on?
Not very many.
You know what I mean?
They have it in the bank.
Exactly, but it's not even tangible
no.
at that point.
Oh. Well, that happened not too long ago, didn't it? When you couldn't use the... Was it... What bank was it that you couldn't go to? Oh, my God.
I don't know.
It was out... All the ATMs went down. I think it was Wells Fargo. All the ATMs went down.
Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy when you really think about it. Like, what?
When that's... When the... When the government was shut down. A lot of ATMs were... People pulled money out and they were out. They couldn't put no more in them. Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm. Because I went to Wells Fargo. I'm like, this is out of order? I don't think so.
But think about, like, okay, so a lot of trucks that deliver food or that go from farms or do, mm-hmm. you know, transport goods. A lot of that's GPS. I mean, they need their GPS. Well, I mean, I guess they could probably figure it out. I mean,
yeah, old fashioned. But how many know how to use a map?
Right.
How many knows how to use an atlas?
That's what I'm saying.
Not very many people. Like, I do, but
yeah, because I mean, you were in the industry before the technology.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of young drivers out there
that wouldn't even know how to open a map.
Think about it.
That's funny though.
You know, or a lot of electronic. If we got hit with an EMP. If instead of a nuke, a warhead, they started shooting ballistic missiles with EMPs.
Or an awesome sunburst.
That too. I mean, people aren't even... I just feel like society would collapse at the slightest inconvenience these days. You know, and that's a hard thing to think about, because everyone is so used to just driving to the store.
Yep.
You know, Amazon delivering this, or, you know, just going through a drive-through. And maybe this is thinking a little outside the box. I mean, that's where I like to be anyway, but if we were, some serious shit were to pop off.
I'm prepared.
Serious shit really pop off. Like, if we were about to get invaded.
I'm prepared.
I think a lot of people, America is running off of scare tactic. I don't think our citizens are as tough or as intelligent as we lead ourselves to be, truthfully, in the masses. Now, I know guys, like, I'm not going to mention names, but I know guys that can load up and be ready to go at a moment's notice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get their families out of the way and then go back to where they need to go. But when you think about 80 to 85% of people would be completely useless in a situation like that.
Well, I don't know if it's 85%, but it would be a huge percentage of people to not just know, not be useless, but just not know what to do.
Yeah.
What do I do? There's no food on the shelves. What do I do? But you know what? That's when people say, I should have been a doomsday prepper. I'm just saying.
People
call them crazy, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is just such, because I was looking at this episode, like Vice or something like that, and they're showing the rich people got some fucking dope ass doomsday prep situations set up. Like, they wouldn't even notice anything's going on.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
In that missile silo.
Yeah.
You know, and the normal people can't afford that shit.
Yeah, but you don't have to have to afford that. You don't need that. As long as you know what you want to save, how, you know, take classes or read a book on what you need.
People don't read books anymore.
Okay, go online.
I don't even know they have Barnes and Nobles anymore. I'm pretty sure almost Amazon killed them all. A lot of the bookstores. I think.
Well, beside the point, go online. Find out a good to-go bag. You know, what do you need in that? How much food would I need for 2 weeks for each person in the house?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of things that you need to know. But actually, you should have more put away. If you don't have, you know, living animals that produce something, then you need to have extra supplies put away, especially canned goods.
I just think that our generation just won't think like that because they're just like, fuck it. Half these people don't even want to be alive.
Honestly,
not like they want to commit suicide, but like, they're just, a lot of this generation doesn't have the same.
They don't have the same drive.
They don't think about tomorrow.
Well, not only that, they just don't have the same drive because it was never required. They never had to. You know, I think that's the problem. You know, we had to work before we went to school. We had things we had to get done. Then we went to school. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if it was just getting the dogs out, cleaning your yard, getting your chores done. People, how many people have chores anymore? Not very many.
Damn.
I mean, there are, I'm sure families that, where we are in this area, the kids get up, they feed the cows, they get the hay out, they let the animals out, then they go to school. Because I know, because I've talked to them.
Mm-hmm.
So these kids in this area, in rural areas, are more grounded. They're more prepared for real life, honestly. Because they have so much on them that they have to get done. And when they get out of school, they go right back to doing the same thing over. So these kids out here are more grounded. Any rural area, they just more dependable.
Yeah.
You can count on them to get something done, which you don't see that in young people.
No. People are soft. People are just soft. On that note, I think that was a pretty good podcast. I think we should end it there, and then we'll pick it up on another day and see where we go from there.
Okay.
All right. Well, it was nice talking to you guys. Just don't forget to look at the channel. I'll be updating stuff, hopefully more often, if I can get my mom to come on more often, because talking by myself is kind of weird sometimes. So, thank you for listening. Bye.